Balaisha talks about that Klai Yisrael complained about the mun, and Va'ata Nashenu Yaveshar, our lives are parched, ain't coil, there's nothing. Bilti El Amon Einenu, we have nothing to anticipate other than the mun. And then it says, Vamon Kizaragadhu is like coriander seed. The Einokain Habdoilach, its color was like the color of the Doilach, certain type of crystal. Rashi explains that they complained that we have nothing to anticipate but the mun. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who answered back the and praised the mun, that the mun was Kizaragad, the Einokain Habdoilach. And the Mefarshim explain that it had a taste of dough saturated with oil. And Rashi understands Hashem is saying, look what my children are complaining about. They say that mun is nothing worth waiting for. And I show them how special it really, really is. Now, this does not mean that Klal Yisrael is full of complaints. It's possible that they indeed agreed that everything else was great. But on this issue, they had criticism. And Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz Zalgazunzain says that many people have this, where we have a life that's full of good fortune. We may have a wealth, a great wife, great husband, wonderful children, nachas, satisfaction, accepted in a community. Everything is working, but we have one or two issues which we have that bother us. And the question is, do we express and demonstrate gratitude for all the good and positive aspects of our lives? Or are we consumed by and obsessed by that one area in our life that we are bothered by? And that is what got Hashem upset. Everything in Klal Yisrael's life was almost perfect. They were no longer in Mitzrayim, serving as slaves under Paray. And whatever they asked from Hashem, they received, but they weren't thankful. And all they could do was issue a complaint against the mun, complaints that were not valid. So this is a Musa Haskell for us to understand and to know. No one has a perfect life. We do have issues in life. And not everything is always going to be 100% good, the way we like it, rather. But when we make an effort to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything else, and zoom in our energies on that, instead of focusing on energy and complaining about that one thing that didn't meet our standards, that will help us greatly in showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to tayv HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to thank Hashem for the many blessings that we do indeed have and that we do indeed enjoy. So that is one important lesson in this week's Parsha. Then it says, Moshe, Ish Moshe Anav Ma'od, that he was extremely humble. And humble means it's built on a person's correct assessment on oneself. It's being aware of your personal abilities, being aware of your successes in life. But you feel you could have done more. That's Moshe Rabbeinu knew his talents, and he just considered himself lacking in a certain achievement. He felt that with his God-given talents, he should have been better. And as a result of this self-assessment, there's a sort of a feeling, a difference between one, what he is and what he could be. You see this a lot when we talk about the Chafetz Chaim. And he is considered an Anav Ma'od. And he never felt himself, the Chafetz Chaim that is, different than the average Jew. He dressed in a regular garb. Bent down brim hat, didn't wear the lavush, and, you know, not that you shouldn't if you're a Rav, you should, but I'm just saying, mitzad him, he didn't feel himself any different. And he, when in the beginning, when they gave Haskamas in his Svarim, the author, his name was moved out of it, he didn't want it there. Ani Akotan, he always used to say, and he meant it. He felt he was unworthy of it. He just felt that it was a need that he, in Klal Yisrael, so he placed it there. He wrote in his Akdama to Likutei Halachos, which is on Kachim. Chafetz Chaim wrote that I, the low, poor one in Torah knowledge and performance of good deeds, do not know Torah, and I really know neither one halacha properly or perform one mitzvah in its entirety. I'm null and void in comparison to all the Rishonim. no more than a shamish in a base medrash who's carrying the svarim of the Rif and the Rambam and other Rishonim for others to study. This is the way he wrote in that Agdama. It's pilei plum. It's amazing. He considered that chibur as just a liquid of nothing more than a collection of authors that he cited. And that's something he felt that any other simple Jew could have done. Of course it's not accurate. Of course it showed his ga'oinis in Torah. All these halachas and kachim and their sources in the Rishonim. Or the Chavetz Chaim himself, the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, where he took from all over Shas and put it in one place, all the Hilchos Lashon Hara. But this gives you a small window of what his anivus was. And perhaps that is reason why his Svarim were accepted in the world all over, because of his anivus. I heard once a fascinating thing, that even though the Chavetz Chaim technically wasn't a Pesach, but his Mishnah Berurah was accepted by many, as a strong psak, and there's many svarim these days that mamish like Dirshu and Oiz Vahadar, others that really go into every single word of the Mishnah Berurah and Bir Halacha and go through it in absolute depth, being medayik in every single word. And I heard, I forgot from which Gadol be Yisrael that said this, but it's Emes Lamitai, that the reason why the Chafetz Chaim has that schus, that the Mishnah Berurah in particular, and the Chavetz Chaim, you have your Dershu Chavetz Chaim, and so on and so forth, where we're medayik in every single word of his Svarim in Halacha, is daika, specifically because he was so nizer in Lashon Hara, because he was so careful in his lifetime to be so careful not to say any Lashon Hara, the Kedusha Sadibur, every word was weighed and was Kaddish Vitar, in that schus, Hashem made it that the Mishnah Berurah, that so many people study it and analyze it every ice by ice for that reason. And that's really a Musa Haskel to learn. There's a famous story where the Chafetz Chaim, an interaction that took place in 1915 between him and Shimon Rozovsky, was a Rav in a town. And when the Chafetz Chaim had a thought, it didn't come about, but he wanted to leave for Eretz Yisrael. And but Lamaisi, he went to visit him, and everyone came to greet him, the Chafetz Chaim, in that town. And then he asked, the Chafetz Chaim got off from the couch, and he asked Shimon to come in with him. And he came in, and the Chafetz Chaim was private with the couch, in the coach, rather. And he was crying. And Rav Shimon asked, "Why are you crying?" And the Chafetz Chaim said, "I'm crying because it's honor that I don't deserve. Everyone's being mechabed me here." And he quoted a Yerushalmi that says that someone is granted honor on account of learning two mesechtas, but in truth he only mastered one mesechta. And it'll be revealed. What can I say? The Chafetz Chaim says, they're honoring me about things that I don't have in me, and they're honoring me for that. And Shimon tried to explain to him and said, "Listen, look, we bench Rosh Chodesh, we bench the new Chodesh, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. We ask Hashem to give us life. Chaim shel oishev v'chavod. What is that? What do you mean, Chaim shel oishev v'chavod? Why does it say oishev v'chavod? Why does it say kavod? Kavod is something that's not beneficial for a person. We're supposed to be bireach min hakavod. We're supposed to stay away from kavod that could cause arrogance. So why are we asking for a chayim shel oisher v'chavod? The answer is because right afterwards it says chayim sheyesh bem ahavas Torah v'yirah shamayim. It says that you're asking for love of Torah and fear of heaven. So you're putting the request of chayim of kavod together with Torah and Yerushalayim. So in other words, if a kavod will lead to more Torah, more Yerushalayim, that's a type of a kavod that's healthy. So therefore, what he was trying to say is to the Chafetz Chaim, don't cry, because the reason why they're being mechabed you is because of the Ahavas HaTorah they have, for the Svarim you wrote, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, and so on and so forth. That kavod that they're giving you is erasing the kavod of Torah and Ahavas HaTorah. And that sort of comforted the Chafetz Chaim somewhat, that he felt less agmas nefesh on the fact that they were mechabed him because of giving him so much kavod, because they were really giving kavod to the Torah, they're really giving kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. big thing with Anivus that's kedai to understand, which is fascinating. The Torah describes Moshe Rabbeinu as an anav, like we just said, and as a servant, as an eved. Because it's connected to each other. When you're an eved, means you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It really makes no difference what you are, where, you know, what your matzav is. What's fascinating is, Renachem Breslov says this Torah, that Chazal say like this, it says, if someone desires wisdom, yadrim, he should turn towards the south. When he turns for prayer, he should turn towards the south. When someone desires wealth, oisher, he should angle himself letzafin, towards the north. And the reason behind this is because the south in the Kodesh, in the Heichal, is where the menorah was. So when you desire chachma, you turn to the south, which is where the menorah is. The menorah is a symbol of, the light of the menorah is a symbol of wisdom. And if you want to become wealthy, you turn to the tzafin, to the north. That's where the shulchan, where the lechem aponim is, which is gashmius, which is the well-being of the wealth. And it seems here that they're opposites, right? If someone wants wealth, they have to turn north. Someone wants wisdom, they have to turn south, which means that if you have one, you don't have the other. How would you keep them both? And Nachum Breslov said a beautiful vart. He says, if you're a true anav, then you could have them both, because an anav has no place. An anav could be in Tzafin and Dharam at the same time, because he's mevatel himself. And therefore, he has the koyach to have both the bracha of the menorah and the bracha of the shulchan. He's in Tzafin and Dharam at the same time, because he himself has no place. And thus, he's zeichet to both Eisher and Chachma together. Because he's recognized, he's going to the source, that I'm worthy of nothing, and all my bracha only comes from Hashem. And Hashem is infinite. He is the Mekayim Shel Olam. He's beyond a particular direction. He's all directions combined. He defined directions. So when you turn your source as an anav and mevatel yisem ta'kadosh baruch hu, it's above Mekayim, so you can have the Tzafin and Dorim coming simultaneously, and you can have the bracha of the shulchan and the menorah coming simultaneously based on the anivus you have and the bittel, because an anav really has no place. Which this idea that he has no place, he withdraws from any makayim, means that he allows himself to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the true makayim, to give you all the brachas that you need. And that is really a yesod gadol ma'id. Anav, we talked about it. If we have Shalom Bayis groups, and on Friday we talk about different svarim on life skills. One of them was on self-esteem, and we elaborated on it over there and explained a lot that anivus does not mean that you lack self-esteem or you're not aware of your talents. We have some people that are made on Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Lavracha. He was one of the greatest anovim in the way he dealt with people. But he knew his madrega. When it came to Torah, he knew his madrega. He knew he had an achrayas. He knew he had gifts that other people did not have. It's not a stira. And we both need to do that. We need to realize, Hashem, Bishvili Nevra Olam, the world was created for me. I have talents, and I have things that I could contribute to the world. But you could also be an anav and realize that the koyach of it is coming directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bracha and Hatzlacha.